Executive Director at the Australian Space Agency, Aude Vignell, recently spoke at the annual Off-Earth Mining Conference hosted by the University of New South Wales to demonstrate government support for the nation's space sector. She emphasized the distribution of $233 million in total to deliver concrete programs in the space sector and facilitate international engagement. The agency expects the space industry to triple in size by 2030, valued at $12 billion, and vows to create 20,000 new jobs in the sector. Aude outlines the agency's civil strategy to help companies become space qualified.
The goal there is that any Australian entity can say, I need minimum $100,000, maximum $4 million to do this project that fits in one of the priorities you have set up, agency, in your civil space strategy. It's going to grow the industry in Australia, it's going to create jobs, and I have a letter of support or some cash or some in-kind from another space agency, preferably the one we've signed an MOU with, so that we can start working with the other space agency that can help us getting space ready quicker.
She also mentions the Space Infrastructure Fund that will allow for 7 new facilities, including a one-of-its-kind Center for Remote Operations.
We are building some infrastructure, one thing per state and territory. The main two ones that are in train are with this mission control in Adelaide and the Remote Operations Center in WA. There is nowhere in the world where you have a facility dedicated to do remote operation in real time. In-orbit servicing, in-orbit repair, debris cleaning, building stuff in space, having the lunar gateway being built by robots. There is nothing like that in the world. It's something quite unique. We're doing a space discovery center in Adelaide and excite all the young kids to work in space because there are going to be more and more jobs in space now.
Laurence Sibyl, chair of the Space Resources Technical Committee at the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics, addresses the climate crisis and says if humans ever have to inhabit another planet, we need to be ready.
By trying to imagine life on another planetary body, which ultimately may be our destiny. I like one of the t-shirts that I saw. There is no planet B, right? There is no planet B yet. Maybe we will find that planet B, or we will learn to live outside the world, and then that will be our planet or plan B. When you start looking at all the activities and the systems that need to come together and work together to even create the opportunity to preserve life on another planet, right, sending astronauts somewhere, then you realize how much we can do to care for what we have here.
And with regard to the emerging off-Earth mining industry, he says advances in space technology will allow for a better standard of living on Earth.
And the opportunity of the mining sector and the space sector coming together to address activities that they would like to do on the moon or asteroids forces them to look at things from a conservation point of view. They have to conserve energy. They cannot send things that are massive in equipment. They have to use robotics. They have to use artificial intelligence in a meaningful way to help. Inevitably, when you start thinking about all this, you will see individuals looking at their own lives and say, well, if that works, then why not here? Or why not in my city? Why not in my community? We have these problems, and we've never thought of applying this kind of system of systems thinking. I think that's where the opportunity lies.
Earlier this year, for under $100 million, a modest team of 40 launched Israel's maiden lunar mission, Bereshit. Kafir Damari is one of the founders of SpaceIL, the nonprofit that cooperated the launch, and he says that Australia already has an abundance of skill and industry participants enough to inspire the next generation of scientists.
I'm here for a week already, and I met a lot of space entrepreneurs, and I think that now at this moment in Australia, there's a big opportunity. You know, the government and so many people are working to take things to a bigger level because you already have the expertise and the knowledge and even, you know, the technologies here in Australia. But now you can take them to a higher level and build bigger stuff and talk about it. This is something that I learned that Australians don't do enough. You need to take all the amazing things that you're already doing and just, you know, spread them around. Do it because that actually is something that can inspire kids to go and study STEM.
Tim Parsons is the executive director of Delta V, an organization dedicated to boosting the momentum of the Australian space industry by spotlighting space startups. Tim emphasizes how investment in space has changed the way we look at unsustainability on Earth.
We need to breathe. We need to manage radiation. And suddenly when we're looking at how we might live on the moon or live on Mars, we suddenly reflect back at what we're doing and how we live on the Earth, and we realize a lot of those things are not sustainable. The way we treat water is not sustainable. The way we treat our atmosphere, the way we're dumping all this carbon into that atmosphere is not sustainable. And I think a lot of those ideas came out of what are actually relatively modest investments in space. So really, one should look at the investments we're making in space as investments in understanding a sustainable Earth.
He also compares the new space economy to the existing defense industry's expenses and mentions the notable decrease in the price of conducting space missions today.
The industry that builds solid rocket fuel for missiles, for weapons to shoot planes down, to sink ships and to blow up soldiers on battlefields, that's a huge industry, and that is an industry bigger than space. So in many ways, people criticize, why are we spending all this money on space? And, you know, another argument is, why are we spending all this money on weapons? That the exciting thing about space today is that the cost of doing space has come down 1,000-fold. Back in the day, you needed $1 billion to do something in space, and now you could do it for about the cost of a Boost Juice franchise, you know, a few $100,000, and maybe make a difference to the whole world. I was down at Bondi Beach the other day, and I said to myself, truly, this is probably the best beach in 100,000 light years. And when you think about that, suddenly everything becomes incredibly precious. I think that mindset shift is why it's worthwhile investing in space.